Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday night, Tailgate.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is John Luke. You know John as one of the guest auctioneers on A&E's show Storage Wars. He's from North Harlem, New York. He's a big Jets, Yankees, Rangers, and Knicks fan, maybe sprinkling a little Giants too. Traveled all over the country doing auctions for charities, big companies, estates, and like I say, on A&E's series Storage Wars. And he's met a lot of celebrities, athletes, and executives along the way. Last few times. He's been on the show. We've had such a wonderful time, and we are honored that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, John, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on the show again. Love the show. We had a great interview with Lee Steinberg. I loved it, and I have to tell you, I love Tony Collins' picks, and your Steelers are bringing it right to the Panthers right now.
Yeah, I'm excited about what I'm seeing going on over my shoulder, so thanks for mentioning that. So, John, we got to start our time with you by getting your thoughts on your Jets. 3-6 currently, and it looks and what do you think?
I think one year when I'm doing an interview with you guys, I'll be happy.
You're just not sure when that year will be?
Yeah, maybe in 3 years. my poor Jets, you know, it just kills me to watch them. You know, it's great that we got Sam Darnold at quarterback, but I don't know if we should have had him in. I think we should have kept Teddy Bridgewater, personally.
Yeah.
You know?
So, from what you're seeing from Darnold, are you seeing some glimmers of hope that, you know, hey, you know, the kid's struggling a little bit, but boy, it sure looks like, to your point, a couple of years from now, we might have something. What's your thoughts on what you've seen from him?
The guy is going to be a star, definitely. However, with Jets management, they need to put the pieces around him. And, you know, I hate to say it, my personal feeling is I think they need a new head coach. But, you know, that's like listening to sports radio in New York, that's a 50-50, you know? Some people say give him a chance, and some people say he's had enough chances. I'm of the camp that he's had enough chances.
And John, you know, one of the things that when you look at the Jets as a, you know, both sides of the ball, you know, the offense seems like, to your point, they need to give him something else, you know, a couple of wide receivers and a running back. They just don't have the pieces to really see what his true potential is going to be. On the opposite side, Jets defense hasn't really been all that bad. I don't know. Give me your thoughts on what you're seeing from the defense.
Well, I think Bowles has been calling good defensive calls. I mean, the Jets defense, I mean, they can be a playoff defense, you know, but it's just hard when the offense keeps turning over the ball and they're on the field all the time. You know, you wear down.
Five questions for John.
Great to speak with you again, John. And we had Burgess Owens on recently, the old defensive back from the Jets. And we talked a lot about the old days, John, about playing in Shea Stadium and even the Meadowlands and just the franchise back in the day and name it. And I know you as a Jet fan and growing up watching New York football, we're familiar with Namath, his exploits and everything, and playing at Shea. We talked about the wins there and everything. Tell me about your memories of the old Jets in those days and how it's changed over the years.
Well, I had season tickets to the Jets when they were at Shea Stadium back in the day. And let me tell you, you used to have to put newspaper in your shoes and newspaper on the concrete because, I mean, you think Green Bay is cold? You've got 0 degrees with 30, 40 mile an hour winds. It was freezing. It was old time football. I mean, and you know, it was exciting. Joe Namath made it exciting. You know, it's sad that he got injured so much, but it was fun to watch. And then when they went to the Meadowlands, I kind of got a little upset because I had really good seats at Shea Stadium. And all of a sudden, I went from the 45-yard line to behind the end zone. And I said, you know what? That's it for me. You know, I'll be watching it on TV. And as a New Yorker, they play in New Jersey. And I don't want to tell you. And it's not an easy trip going through the tunnel and going to the game. So I'm more of a watch the Jets on TV guy now.
John, I just want to switch it over to baseball for a bit. Just how you watched the last season and your attitude about baseball in New York now? Where do you see it going? Do you like the way these teams are, shall we say, big swingers now? And I think the Red Sox taught us a lot about disciplined hitting. Where do you think a team like the Yankees is going from here?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm pretty optimistic. You remember, they won 100 games this year.
Yes,
and my hat's off to the Red Sox. They had a tremendously great season. You know, they beat us by 8 games. They beat us in the playoffs. But, you know, you could see they had a better team. And a couple of our players really, you know, didn't play up to what, you know, their potential was. And you had, you know, Sanchez. He was out for a couple months, and he was never the big bopper or hitter that they thought he was going to be this year. But the potential coming up, to be honest with you, I think the Yankees are going to open their purse strings this year. They're going to get about 3 pitchers. They re-signed Sabathia as insurance. And let's see if they go for Machado. I don't think there's no way they're going to get Harper. But because of the injury to Didi Gregorius, I think they might go for Machado. It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a great core, young core, and they know what they have to do. Because remember, the Red Sox, what were they, the highest paid team payroll in baseball last year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. you had the Dodgers. I think the president of the Dodgers, they had a picture of him starting with the president of the Red Sox laughing at how much they've outspent the Dodgers. So, and
John,
we were the dark empire, you know?
Right.
That's right. John, I want to get your thoughts on some of the things you talked about going to the games for all those years and kind of go back to the 80s and 90s. And we had Cary Glenn, you know, former Jets defensive back on with us last week. We got John Bach, who is a former Jets offensive lineman, coming up a little bit later on tonight. But you go back to those 80s and 90s matchups with Ken O'Brien and Dan Marino with the Dolphins and the Jets airing it out. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of those classic Jets-Dolphins matchups.
Well, you know, I'm, as a New Yorker, you know, I go to Florida all the time. So it's really a fight because half of my friends are in Florida. So even to now, but back in the day, it was always, you know, we're going to kill you. You're going to kill us. And, you know, what was the score going to be? 35-33? You know, it's just they aired it out. Dan Marino, unbelievable quarterback. And I've been fortunate enough to meet him a few times, speak with him. He's really a great guy. Super talented, and you know, would you rather have Dan Marino or Ken O'Brien? Okay, that's Dan Marino. you know, he's gonna win. I mean, and he had the pieces to go with it. The Jets never had those pieces with Ken O'Brien. You know, he was a good quarterback, but you know, Dan Marino is Dan Marino.
Right.
So they were fun. They were fun games to watch. I'll put it that way.
So, John, thinking back at all the different games that you've been to or watched or been a part of, talk about what are some of your favorite Jet games that you got to see?
Oh, geez. I was at the game, I believe, when O.J. Simpson went over 2,000 yards in the snow. Mm-hmm. I think that was at Shea Stadium. I remember. Yeah. No, I was an old-time season ticket holder. I mean, I used to go as a kid when I was 14, 15, into my 20s. So, back in the day. But that, you know, and other than that, at my age now, to remember the particular games, I don't know. it was fun and really hard. Some days you woke up and, do I really want to go to the game? Because you know what you're in for. So, it's good memories. It's good memories, but I got to tell you something. It was brutal.
Yeah, to that point, John, you know, did you ever get up in the morning on a Sunday and it's, you know, whatever it was, single digits, snowing, all that sort of stuff, and you really think to yourself, boy, I don't know if I want to go?
Yes. and I have to tell you something. I was fortunate last year. I did a few events at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. I was down there. And all we were saying is, we can't wait till next year in Atlanta. It was literally one night, it was literally 8 degrees below with a wind chill factor of 15. And I was in downtown Minneapolis and they were doing, you know, all the NFL events outside. You had lines of hundreds of people in below zero temperatures. And I'm shaking my head saying, how could they do this?
Right.
So I can't, you know, and that brought back memories. I said, oh boy, this is familiar. This is what I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Bob, over John.
And John, I wanted to ask you about the economics, and because you go back like I do, you know. And I was at I tell kids, younger people than me, all the time. You know, I was at Fordham University, and I went to every home game the Yankees played for 4 years, and I paid John $1.50 to sit in the bleachers, $1.50 for the subway. And, you know, my mother would throw a $10 bill at me on the weekends and say, go back to Fordham and have a blast. And, you know, I'd have enough money to eat, go to a few games. And it's crazy how that's changed over the years. And we didn't know how lucky we were, John. I mean, now when you go to a game, I mean, you got to think of, should I go to a game or should I go on vacation in lieu of it? You know, that's how crazy it is. It's really, I have friends like that that have two or three kids. They have to think that way. But it's I know it's progress, and I know these guys have to compete, and it's bigger business now than it ever was. But you must think about those days often.
Well, I have to tell you, coming from where I was born and raised on 155th Street, I used to walk to Yankee Stadium to see the Yankees play and also when the Giants played there back in the day. You know, the Ron Johnson, Spider Lockhart days. And I go back before the public transportation was $1.50, okay? But, you know, my mom gave me $10, and I thought it was like going on vacation, as you put it, because, you know, that's a couple hot dogs, sodas, and, you know, what do you want to get, a program? So, I mean, and I've been fortunate now, when I go to a few games, I'm going as a guest, because I'm looking at these prices, and I'm saying, are you kidding me? You know, really, you know, the average working person, it is a vacation, and I think it's hurting baseball to a degree. And I know, for instance, the Yankees, they take a lot of underprivileged children and a lot of like community centers, because I do a lot of charity work for Boys and Girls Clubs of New York and the Kingsbridge Center, and they allow them to come in on, you know, they give them the tickets. So they do let some people come in, you know, to enjoy the game, and they don't have to have $1 million to go there. But on the other hand, you know, I've done charity events where I've auctioned off four legend seats and meet Aaron Judge for $20,000. The seats alone, without any vig on them, are $500 a seat. $500 a seat to see a baseball game? I mean, my God. And you're not right. Talking a good team.
John, before we let you go, what are some events you've got coming up where our listeners might have a chance to either come by and say hi or see you or watch you on TV?
Well, let me personally invite you guys. You guys are in Atlanta, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, you are. Okay. Well, you know, if you check out my social media, and I know you guys do it, but I'll just say it, because I put up my events that I'm doing, but for Super Bowl down in Atlanta, I'll be doing a Laughs with Legends, which is you have several ex-NFL stars, like you have Ed Tuttle Jones, Larry Centers. We had Joe Piscopo as a comedian last year. And it's, you know, it's like a liar's club. And then we also partial proceeds go to a charity. And I'll be doing that, and you'll be my guest. You know, just contact me, and I'll get you in. And anybody else, if they're interested, they can look at my Twitter at JohnLukeNYC, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, we certainly look forward to that.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, you'll have fun. It's really fun. I've done it about 5 different occasions around the country, and everybody enjoys it.
So, John, before we let you go, let our listeners know, as you just gave out your Twitter handle, how else can they stay up to date with the great things you're doing on social media?
Well, through Twitter, as I said, and it's the same handle on Facebook and Instagram. That's basically what I do. And, you know, hey, if you guys want to give me a shout out, say hello. I like to speak to everybody who wants to speak to me.
There you go. Well, John, it's always a lot of fun when we get to have you as part of the show. We hope you'll come back, hopefully before the Super Bowl, and let's talk about that and the great things that you do in between now and then. But you're always so much fun. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I have a great time, and you guys have a great show. And much success to you guys, okay? You have a good night.
Sure.
God bless.
John. Take care, John.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
That's the great John Luke. And again, you can follow him on Twitter, at JohnLukeNYC. We've got our next guest, Tony Mandarich, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Tony on the other side of this quick station break.